Number 1. Dear Mr. John Smith, I am a staff member at the Eastville Library, and I work weekday afternoons. Each day, as school closes, dozens of students come to the library to do homework, use the library's computers, or socialize in a safe place. Many of these children would otherwise go home to empty houses, and the library is the one place that provides a secure, supervised alternative to being home alone. Your proposed policy of closing libraries on Mondays as a cost-cutting measure could be harmful to these children, and I'm certain there are other ways to save money. I urge you and other city council representatives to cancel the plan and to keep libraries open. Sincerely, Kyle Tucker.
Number 2. Clara, an 11-year-old girl, sat in the back seat of her mother's car with the window down. The wind from outside blew her brown hair across her ivory-pale skin. She sighed deeply. She was sad about moving and was not smiling. Her heart felt like it hurt. The fact that she had to leave everything she knew broke her heart. 11 years. That was a long time to be in one place and build memories and make friends. She had been able to finish out the school year with her friends, which was nice, but she feared she would face the whole summer and the coming school year alone. Clara sighed heavily.
Number 3. Strong negative feelings are part of being human. Problems occur when we try too hard to control or avoid these feelings. For coping with strong negative feelings, it is helpful to take them as they are. They are messages that your mind and body sent to keep you safe. For instance, if you are afraid of a work presentation, trying to avoid your anxiety will likely reduce your confidence and increase your fear. Instead, try to accept your anxiety as a signal that you are probably nervous about public speaking, just like most other people. Then, you can lower the level of your anxiety and stress as you increase your confidence and make the presentation much easier.
Number 4. There is a critical factor that determines whether your choice will influence that of others. The results of the choice that everyone can see. Take the case of the Adélie penguins. They are often found strolling in large groups toward the edge of the water in search of food. Yet danger awaits in the icy cold water. There is the leopard seal, for one, which likes to have penguins for a meal. What is an Adélie to do? The penguin's solution is to play the waiting game. They wait and wait and wait by the edge of the water until one of them gives up and jumps in. At that very moment, the rest of the penguins watch with expectation to see what happens next. If the pioneer survives, everyone else will follow it into the water. If it dies, they'll turn away. One penguin's destiny alters the fate of all the others. Their strategy, you could say, is learn and live.
Number 5. Hydroelectric power is a clean and renewable power source. However, there are several important things to know about dams. To build a hydroelectric dam, a large area must be flooded behind the dam. Whole communities sometimes have to be moved to another place. Entire forests can be drowned. The water released from the dam can be colder than usual, and this can affect the ecosystems in the rivers downstream. It can also wash away riverbanks and destroy life on the river bottoms. The worst effect of dams has been observed on salmon. They have to travel upstream to lay their eggs. If the trip is blocked by a dam, the salmon life cycle cannot be completed.
Number 6. Every event that causes you to smile makes you feel happy and produces feel-good chemicals in your brain. Force your face to smile, even when you are stressed or feel unhappy. The facial muscular pattern produced by the smile is linked to all the happy networks in your brain. And then it will naturally calm you down and change your brain chemistry by releasing the same feel-good chemicals. Researchers studied the effects of a genuine and forced smile on individuals during a stressful event. The researchers had participants perform stressful tasks while not smiling, smiling, or holding chopsticks crossways in their mouths to force the face to form a smile. The results of the study showed that smiling, forced or genuine, during stressful events reduced the stress level in the body and lowered heart rate after recovering from the stress.
Number 7. George Boole was born in England in 1815. Boole had to leave school at the age of 16 after his father's business collapsed. He taught himself mathematics, natural philosophy, and various languages. He began to produce original mathematical research and made important contributions to areas of mathematics. For those contributions, in 1844, he was awarded a gold medal for mathematics by the Royal Society. Boole was deeply interested in expressing the workings of the human mind in symbolic form, and his two books on the subject, The Mathematical Analysis of Logic and An Investigation of the Laws of Thought, form the basis of today's computer science. In 1849, he was appointed the first professor of mathematics at Queen's College in Ireland, and taught there until his death in 1864.
Number 8. Robotic vacuum cleaner. User manual. Charging the battery. It takes 90 minutes for the battery to be fully charged. The robotic vacuum can operate for 40 minutes when fully charged. While the robotic vacuum is charging, the battery indicator light blinks red. When fully charged, the battery indicator light turns blue. Operating the vacuum. Press the power button to turn on the vacuum. The following cleaning modes are provided: auto mode, spot mode, and manual mode. Turning off the vacuum will reset all settings except for the current time. The time can be set only with the remote control.
Number 9. The brain makes up just 2% of our body weight, but uses 20% of our energy. In newborns, whose growing brains exhaust them, it's no less than 65%. That's partly why babies sleep all the time and have a lot of body fat. The fat is there for them to use as an energy reserve when needed. Our muscles use even more of our energy, about a quarter of the total. But we have a lot of muscle. Actually, per unit of matter, the brain uses by far more energy than our other organs. That means that the brain is the most expensive of our organs, but it is also marvelously efficient. Our brains require only about 400 calories of energy a day, about the same as we get from a blueberry muffin. Try running your laptop for 24 hours on a muffin and see how far you get.
Number 10. When reading another scientist's findings, think critically about the experiment. Ask yourself, were observations recorded during or after the experiment? Do the conclusions make sense? Can the results be repeated? Are the sources of information reliable? You should also ask if the scientist or group conducting the experiment was unbiased. Being unbiased means that you have no special interest in the outcome of the experiment. Let's say a drug company pays for an experiment to test how well one of its new products works. Then, the company has a special interest involved. It profits if the experiment shows that its product is effective. Therefore, the experimenters aren't objective. They might ensure the conclusion is positive and benefits the drug company. When assessing results, think about any biases that may be present.
Number 11. Students may think they know the material, even when they don't. One of the main reasons why is that they mistake familiarity for understanding. Here is how it works. You read the chapter once, perhaps highlighting as you go. Then later, you read the chapter again, perhaps focusing on the highlighted material. As you read it over, the material is familiar because you remember it from before. And this familiarity might lead you to think, okay, I know that. The problem is that this feeling of familiarity is not necessarily equal to knowing the material. It may be of no help when you have to come up with an answer on the exam. In fact, familiarity can often lead to errors on multiple choice exams because you might pick a choice that looks familiar. You find out later that it was something you had read, but it wasn't really the best answer to the question.
Number 12. Of the many forest plants that can cause poisoning, wild mushrooms may be among the most dangerous. This is because people sometimes confuse the poisonous and edible varieties, or they eat mushrooms without making a positive identification of the variety. Many people enjoy hunting wild species of mushrooms in the spring season because they are excellent edible mushrooms and are highly prized. However, some wild mushrooms are dangerous, leading people to lose their lives due to mushroom poisoning. Growing a high-quality product at a reasonable cost is a key aspect to farming edible mushrooms for profit. To be safe, a person must be able to identify edible mushrooms before eating any wild one.
Number 13. We always have a lot of bacteria around us. They live almost everywhere, in air, soil, in different parts of our bodies, and even in some of the foods we eat. But do not worry. A. But unfortunately, a few of these wonderful creatures can sometimes make us sick. This is when we need to see a doctor, who may prescribe medicines to control the infection. B. Most bacteria are good for us. Some live in our digestive systems and help us digest our food. and some live in the environment and produce oxygen so that we can breathe and live on Earth. C. But what exactly are these medicines and how do they fight with bacteria? These medicines are called antibiotics, which means against the life of bacteria. Antibiotics either kill bacteria or stop them from growing.
Number 14. Grown-ups rarely explain the meaning of new words to children, let alone how grammatical rules work. Our brains are constantly solving problems. Every time we learn or remember or make sense of something, we solve a problem. Some psychologists have defined all infant language learning as problem-solving. They extend it to children and see such scientific procedures as learning by experiment or hypothesis testing. Instead, they use the words or the rules in conversation and leave it to children to figure out what is going on. In order to learn language, an infant must make sense of the contexts in which language occurs. In other words, problems must be solved. We have all been solving problems of this kind since childhood, usually without knowing what we are doing.
Number 15. Have you noticed that some coaches get the most out of their athletes while others don't? A poor coach will tell you what you did wrong, and then tell you not to do it again. Don't drop the ball. What happens next? In your head, you see images that you drop the ball. Naturally, your mind recreates what it just saw based on what it heard. Not surprisingly, you walk on the court and drop the ball. What does the good coach do? He or she points out what could be improved, but they will then tell you how you could or should perform. I know you'll catch the ball perfectly this time. Sure enough, the next image in your mind is that you catch the ball and score a goal. Once again, your mind makes your last thoughts part of reality. But this time, that reality is positive, not negative. Unlike ineffective coaches who focus on players' mistakes, effective coaches help players improve by encouraging them to picture successful plays.
Number 16 to 17. Researchers brought two groups of 11-year-old boys to a summer camp at Robbers Cave State Park in Oklahoma. The boys were strangers to one another, and upon arrival at the camp, were randomly separated into two groups. The groups were kept apart for about a week. They swam, camped, and hiked. Each group chose a name for itself, and the boys printed their group's name on their caps and t-shirts. Then the two groups met. A series of athletic competitions were set up between them. Soon, each group considered the other an enemy. Each group came to look down on the other. The boys started food fights and stole various items from members of the other group. Thus, under competitive conditions, the boys quickly drew sharp group boundaries. The researchers next stopped the athletic competitions and created several apparent emergencies whose solution required cooperation between the two groups. One such emergency involved a leak in the pipe supplying water to the camp. The researchers assigned the boys to teams made up of members of both groups. Their job was to look into the pipe and fix the leak. After engaging in several such cooperative activities, the boys started playing together without fighting. Once cooperation replaced competition and the groups stopped to look down on each other, group boundaries melted away as quickly as they had formed.